Lee gave me a review.
Here we go.
And he said that it sounded like AI. And AI did a decent job of making it sound like what it thought would be a good Pearl Jam album. But aggregating the last 30 years of their music, so Lee wanted to thank the robots for their good work.
Recorded live from Studio 12A in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to the Josh and Friends Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Josh and Friends Podcast. I am your host. My name is Josh. And this week, Andy Matlock returns to the show to speak about a number of different things going on, including our discussions about the weird-ass neighbor next door, our reviews of the new Pearl Jam and Taylor Swift albums, as well as the Coachella Music Festival, random tattoos, and a documentary that proclaims that O.J. Simpson was actually innocent of murder. So join us in these conversations and more with today's guest. He is my brother, the one and only Mr. Andy Matlock. Andy Matlock, how's it going, buddy?
Good, how you doing?
Doing good. Why don't you scoot up to the plate over here and let's... Oh, God.
Sorry.
So I just want to start by saying happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so let's get this out of the way.
All right.
All the way from Washington State, you brought the... Mac and Jack's beer for me to enjoy. So I'm just going to crack this sucker open and,
yeah. And I got a little hop knot from Arizona.
Boom.
Here we go.
Good stuff, man. This is one of my favorite beers and I can't find it here. So that's why I had you import it vehicle.
No, that didn't happen.
Oh, wait, is that illegal?
Probably.
So how are you enjoying the weather? It's like slowly creeping up.
It's great so far.
Yeah. It's going to get, get hot.
I know.
I
know. I can feel it. It's
happening. At least there's an escape.
Yeah.
At least there's an escape. You can always escape into the air conditioning.
No, it is nice. Arizona. Yeah. Once you're like, oh gosh, it is hot out here. You go inside and you're like, oh, this is nice.
So Andy's coming back to the desert. He's back to the desert. Job opportunity opened up. So. Yep. Andy, you packed up, you moved down to Arizona.
Yep.
You have any stories about the move? Anything that happened on the road?
Nothing too crazy. It was pretty easy. They get easier as you do them, you know, a couple times.
You always like to not mess around. You like to just drive.
There's nothing to do. I'm transporting all of my stuff, like my personal belongings. It's like, I don't want to like leave the car and like, I don't know. I just sleep in rest stop. I just slept in a rest stop and
now
and just made it here in quick time.
Really. You made it here in quick time. You made it here safe. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
But you also pointed out that last time you moved here, all hell broke loose and the end of the world like started happening. What's going to happen this time?
I mean, it already started happening.
What started now? Like, so last time you moved here, it was like, what, the very, what, was the end of 2019?
Yeah.
And then 2020 came.
Yeah, we're like, 2020 is going to be so awesome. Like, like every holiday is like on a weekend. And
yeah.
Like, everything's going to line up. And
I was like, oh, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah. I was like, this is so perfect. I'm moving out here.
And then Kobe starts with Kobe. He like dies in a plane crash. Like, oh, okay. Well, I mean,
that was horrible.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, but.
But what else could be worse than that?
I mean, we had the Australian fires. I mean, but that's in Australia.
Yeah.
And then
there was this little rumblings of something like some, you know, people were getting sick in China and you're like, that's China.
Then
they're like, it's in Seattle. And you're like, oh, it's in Seattle.
It's getting closer.
But yeah. So yeah, then yeah, that kind of screwed everything up too. And then so kind of went back up to Seattle and worked up there for a while. And then, yeah, so I'm back here.
Now, has anything bad happened yet? Like,
people can't get abortions in the state anymore.
Not like people are like freely like, can't wait to get an abortion.
I know, but
this is going to be amazing.
For those who need it.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks. What else?
I can't remember.
but bad things. I feel like it's already starting. Like,
yeah,
more things. Who knows? Who knows how long I'll make it here?
Well, I'll tell you this: the timing was a little bad because there was some flooding here at Studio 12A.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I know.
Pipe burst.
Yeah, 13A. had a problem and it came down into 12A.
Flooded the downstairs. It's all the walls ripped out, but we are coming here. We're recording this sucker. We're here for everyone else.
Yeah,
and
it's a little tight in Studio 12A right now. We got a lot of all over the place, but it's, you know, we're under construction. It's gonna
the plumbers come out and you know, it's a little chaotic, but you know, everyone coming in and out of this place, you know, trying to get everything fixed up. But that was like the least of the most important or interesting things that happened, because these guys were like telling me all these crazy stories. I'm like, why are these guys opening up to me about their entire lives?
Because they're construction workers. they don't care. They're just weird.
Maybe it's because I told them I used to do construction. So they're like, oh, he's one of us.
Yeah.
He's one of us.
Yeah.
He's in. Yeah. One of them's telling me, what was he? He's like telling me, yeah, man, like, my wife cheated on me. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. He's like, yeah, I have 5 kids. And I was like, oh, I'm just learning a lot here. And then he's like, yeah, my oldest son from a previous marriage, he's the one that caught her. And then he told me, and I'm like, oh, wow, I feel like I'm on Jerry Springer right now. and then the other guy, he's all, yeah, we're trying to acquire some property to open up an RV park. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. He goes, and I was a former gangbanger. And I was like, oh, maybe should not let me know that part of the, I mean, I could care less. I mean, what is he doing now?
Yeah.
Like, but it's kind of funny. I was like, all right. He's like, I'm dating this girl. She's 50 years old. I'm 30 years old. I'm like,
I wish I was here for that. I hope the next guys are like that.
Well, but then the guy came over. Because what you have to do when you have to shut down the entire building, like place, because of the water. Sure. If you're like screwing with water, you have to let everybody know. So like, goes next door and he comes back and he looked like traumatized. He was like, you know, the guys next door, they have like zero furniture. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, there's like nothing in there, like nothing. Like he goes, did they
just moved in?
He's like, did they just move here or something? And I go, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know him. And he goes, oh. And then the other guy comes over and he goes, and everybody comes over from that place and they're traumatized. And I'm like, they're like, do you know the next door neighbor? And I go, no, I don't know who he is. And they're like, because I told him we were going to shut off the water and he asked to borrow $5.
Oh, gosh.
But
oh gosh, what the hell's going on over there?
I was like, all right, that's weird. So okay. We had a run-in this weekend with that guy, because I had never really, I just said like, hey, like he'd walk by and he looks like this, I don't know, how do you describe him? He looks like, he's like this short, I mean, he looks like a stoner.
Yeah.
Like this short black guy that's just kind of walking around.
He looked more drunk than does stoned. He? Yeah. He looked drunk.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
Whoa, quit giving stoners a bad
name. So anyway, he knocks on the door and you answer. We thought it was because we were playing music loud, nope. What happened, Andy? You answer the door and,
he just asked me if like what we're doing looked like we were partying in there. And I was like, I thought he was going to get around to saying that we were being too loud.
Yeah.
And then he said something about the 420 thing. I guess there's usually like a big 420 like party or something that's across the street, but we didn't see it. And then all he said was something about there was he wanted to speak to the owner. So I said, oh, he's right.
Oh yeah, and he goes, you the homeowner? And I go, yes, I am. And he's like, okay, he's like, can I borrow $15? And I go,
very specific.
I'm like, what? You want to borrow $15? And you go, and I go, no, I don't have any cash on me. And then he's like, you have any food. I'm like, this is my new neighbor.
So weird.
I was like, you know what, dude? Here, I'll give you a beer. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Give you a beer.
Episode 20.
Yeah, that's probably what he's really after.
Like, and then I gave him a beer and I shut the door and he went on his way. That was weird, though.
I mean, they
never had that happen with a new neighbor.
Yeah, that's,
you know, back in the old days, you'd be like, can I borrow a cup of sugar?
Yeah.
But that's when people, A, used to cook, B, used to like their neighbors and be like, you know, very personable. And actually, we get to know them before that.
Yeah.
That's the first
kind of weird run-in.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. I don't know. Who knows what's going on over there?
Yeah. I don't know either, but yeah. So when we were interrupted by that guy, we found out. So just to back up, Coachella. Coachella event happened the previous two weekends. And I mean, I have zero interest in ever going to Coachella. Like,
now, we were talking about how terrible it sounded.
Like, it's like, what is it? It costs like, it's in the middle of nowhere. They said the tickets average like $600 or something crazy, or I don't know.
Yeah.
And people are saying that it's between $3,000 to $5,000 for a trip over there. So it's not for regular people.
Yeah.
It's for Instagrammers and, you know, those people that just really want to go to Coachella.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's people posting that they were there.
So I was hearing about, you know, some news stories that were, you know, some of the big events that were going on at Coachella, some of the artists and everything like that. But we stumbled on, I don't know how we came up. Did it just come up on YouTube?
Yeah, we're looking at YouTube and it was one of the, we went, you know, you go down to music.
It was one of the live events that was streaming and we click onto it. And this was one of the coolest covered things I've ever seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
They had, you could go to every single stage live in HD. It was amazing.
And multi-screen ones too.
Yeah, you could go.
It was like watching Red Zone.
Oh, it was so amazing.
Like something like that. But I wish we were into the bands a little bit more. There was a couple cool bands we saw, but I wish we were into more of the bands that we saw. But it was still really cool. Like,
it was.
I'm down for live music, so it doesn't matter. And some of those DJs were pretty cool.
Yeah, who was the one that we were watching?
Purple Disco Machine.
Yeah, something like that. I was like, this guy is actually awesome. Dude.
He played like a lot of like 80s and 70s.
He was mixing it 90s up. Yeah, he was mixing it up with like basically old school and super new school, but all good stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's really good.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Super good. Some of the highlights for this year included Sublime's new lead singer.
Yeah.
Jacob Knoll, who's the son of the original singer.
That was legit. That was awesome. Cool.
That was cool. I mean, he looks cool. He's like this young guy, you know. You were talking about, you're like, he's not great at guitar, but, you know, that's why they have the other guy.
He was good enough at guitar. Good as you would expect. You know, I mean, better than I would expect.
He has the same vocal chords as his father, so that works. That's pretty much the most important part. And he looks cool. He looks pretty cool. So, So that's always a great gimmick right there. Will Smith a couple weeks ago appeared on stage to sing Men in Black. What? Did you see that?
No.
What? Did you see? Oh, he comes out and he's like wearing the sunglasses. He's doing the Men in Black. Yeah, that was a big thing. Kesha changed her lyrics. Did you see that? Did you say that?
I think I heard.
Wake up in the morning, and she's like, "Fuck P. Diddy" or something like that.
Oh gosh!
and then, No Doubt they performed 2 weeks in a row.
Yep,
fairly entertaining.
Yeah, they were pretty good. They were good.
Yeah, it's No Doubt. You know, yeah,
solid.
They were saying that the low lights of the concert were kind of like, you know, kind of like the boring performers, kind of like Lana Del Rey and like Billie Eilish, you know, it's like, okay, like everyone's like, woo, party. And then it's like, and then you're like, late at night, you're like, okay, here's Billie Eilish or here's Lana Del Rey.
Yeah. I think we, me and Eric caught the end of that Lana Del Rey and we're like, oh, this is how it ends, huh?
And wasn't the lead singer of Blur, was he hammered or is it just me? He was hammered, right?
He looked hammered. And he couldn't keep up with the lyrics in the boys
and like girls and day girls and like boys. Yeah. Oh, dude, it was so... I was like, wow.
I think he was just like, I don't like these people that are here at the concert.
Yeah, no shit. Well, did you... Yeah. Part of that is the week prior to that.
Yeah.
He was sitting up there and he was like trying to get the crowd into it and they weren't fucking doing shit. He's like, well, this is fucking lame.
I would like to see that one and see how drunk he was on that one. Because I think he was drunker.
Are you serious?
I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming he was drunker on the second.
Oh, one. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he was like, you know, fuck this. If I'm going to be up here with these lame ass Instagram influencers, then I'm just going to fucking, you know, who gives a shit? Fuck all you guys.
I kind of dig that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what kind of, no doubt everyone was like ripping on like the first week of like people.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, this crowd's way better than the last one.
Yeah, they were saying like the people like music are second week or something like that.
So that was really cool. I I'm gonna do that every year. if they're gonna keep doing that. Yeah. that was amazing. Maybe that was a test run. And they're like, well, now we can start charging tickets for this.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either because it was that well done.
It is neat to, you know, on a weekend have some friends over, have some beers and watch, you know, like some sort of concert.
Yeah,
know?
It was awesome, dude. Yeah. It was really cool. It was
really cool.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, I haven't followed this at all.
Well, so they announced their inductees. Ethan and I had a, you know, episode of towards the beginning of the year where we did the nominees.
Oh, okay.
They announced the inductees for 2024, and they are.
Uh-oh. Drum roll.
A Tribe Called Quest. A Tribe Called Quest.
They've been shut out for years in this, right?
Cher.
Okay.
Foreigner. That was shocking to me. I didn't think that Foreigner would get in. I mean, I love Foreigner.
There's other pop groups that should be in before Foreigner, right?
Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
Cool in the Gang. Yeah. Love me some Cool in the Gang. Mary J. Blige. Peter Frampton. You're still putting rock people in here.
Yeah.
And Ozzy Osbourne. That was our lock. We were like, how can you not have Ozzy in there? So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. So Ethan, he did better than me. He got 5 correct. Then I got 4. So congrats to Ethan. Congrats to Ethan for a shitty inductee Hall of Fame. Yeah, you're the winner. All right. So speaking of Hall of Famers, Andy, Pearl Jam released their new album last week. You listened to it.
I did.
You listened to it. What did you think about it?
I did. I drove to In-N-Out Burger and listened to it.
Dang. What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. There was a couple songs that I resisted. Because you always hear this. They always go, this album rocks like one of our early albums. And you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then you listen to it and you're like, okay, maybe 1.5 songs.
Yeah.
Your earlier energy that you put into your music, you know. But I listened to it a couple times through and I was like, okay, but those songs that are slower are good songs.
Yeah.
There was one song, I can't remember what it was called, but that really was like kind of just didn't do it for me. But the rest of the album was good enough, I thought. And it's a good Pearl Jam album.
Yeah, so like they had some rockers on there like Dark Matter and React Respond.
Yeah.
And the song Running.
Yes.
That was like the hardest. That might be the hardest song they've ever done.
I think it was definitely the hardest on the album.
I mean, Pearl Jam's not really
they're not known for being super hard,
but like you know, it reminded me kind of like that Do the Evolution song from years ago, but some of these songs like Won't Tell sounded like a kind of like a 90s song, just like a kind of generic 90s song.
Yep.
Mike McCready does some like bluesy guitar work on Upper Hand. and Waiting for Stevie sounds kind of like their older stuff to me.
I do like that, Waiting for Stevie.
Yeah. And I guess that was about, like, they were waiting to do something with Stevie Wonder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought for a second, I was like, is this with Stevie Nicks?
I was like, I didn't put it past the...
Yeah, because I know he worked with Stevie Nicks.
Listening to the music and the sound of the voice. I'm never even listening to the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. And then they did, there was a song called Something Special, soft rock song, but I like the backing vocals. And then I wish they would do more backing vocals, because sounds good when they do backing vocals, but yeah. I don't know.
I like that song too.
Yeah. Ethan really liked the songs Wreckage and Waiting for Stevie.
Yep. Wreckage was good.
And Lee gave me his review. Uh-oh. So I was saving this. I was telling you this. Lee gave me a review.
Here we go.
And he said that it sounded like AI. And AI did a decent job of making it sound like what it thought would be a good Pearl Jam album, but aggregating the last 30 years of their music. So Lee wanted to thank the robots for their good work.
You know, it is kind of funny, like, bands like kind of become a caricature of themselves. So mm-hmm. it's like I kind of didn't think that, so that's why it's making me laugh so hard.
But. Yeah. So if you were to give it a grade out of 5 stars, like 5 being the best, what would you give it?
I'd give it 3. I'd give it 3.
I was going to say 3.5. I give it 3.5.
Yeah, I don't want to hate on it. It's not.
See, because you have to leave room. Like, if 10 is a 5.
Yeah. There was.
It's not 10.
There was an album I bought, I don't know, 8-10 years ago. I can't remember what Pearl Jam album it was, but I was like, just so unimpressed. So this one, I'm actually, I like a few songs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And the rest of them are definitely listenable. So
yeah, there you go.
But I like Lee's response though.
Yeah. So another album that it's too big to ignore. I went through and I listened to the new Taylor Swift album, which is called Tortured Poets Department.
I miss that one.
And I listened to about 3/4 of, you know, each of the songs.
Yeah, it was like a double album, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. It's like, but I'll tell you what, dude. I gotta say, that was a boring ass album.
Yeah.
You know, because she's super capable of making catchy songs. She's not a billionaire because she sucks.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
She is a massive super talent, and if Zoe's listening, turn off your radio, Zoe. Turn it off. And your mom could tell you when to tune back in. But I got to say, the songs, they're not bad. They're just forgettable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you listen to a song, you're like, yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's just, I don't know. Like, the I just thought they all sounded kind of similar. And like I don't know. I couldn't, you know, like when you hear like a song, you're like, oh, that could be like a radio hit, or, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, you know, maybe it's not for me.
Sure.
Like, most of her music isn't really for me.
You could recognize, but you're like, it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good song, you know, or it's a popular, huge song. I could only hear that really in a couple songs.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. And I thought the song I Can Do It With a Broken Heart was the one song that I'd be like, all right, that's a radio single.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm probably wrong. I don't know. I have no idea.
What do you know, Josh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. So I'm just a guy that's listening to listening to music,
just a guy
talking about
just
it.
Just a guy that dedicated his life to listening to music.
Yeah. So whatever. Who knows? Who knows? But congratulations to Taylor Swift for that album. I would. Listen, because I don't even know if I'm qualified enough to give a grade to that album, because like I'm more of a rock guy than I am like a chick rock,
pop
girl,
country, teeny teenager.
But she's not rock. She's like in her 30s now.
But that's not what she's writing it for, you know. Well, she's writing it for
who knows. Well, isn't that it's about her last relationship? Like, we've moved on. We've already moved into. To happy Taylor Swift. Yeah. We don't want to hear about depressing Taylor Swift. So is the next album going to be a party? Hopefully it's going to be a party, because like that last album was like, you know, maybe the tail end of her depressing, you know, relationship where they broke up. I don't know. I guess the thing I don't know enough about Taylor Swift, she has this collaborator, Jack Antonoff, who is the producer and collaborator. And she'd been working with him, I guess, previously. And people are like, dude, you need to stop working with this guy.
Really?
Because like, it's just boring. Like, yeah. I don't know. Because he was in that band Fun, We Are Young. You know that song?
Oh, okay.
So I guess he was in that band. Or I think he's the guitarist for that band. But I don't know. Who knows? Stay tuned. Who knows? She bounces around to different kinds of people. We'll see.
Yeah, we know.
Maybe she'll make another billion dollars and then she'll call me up and like, hey, you idiot. How you doing over there? Your pipes and your walls that are destroyed. Anyway, all right. So, Andy, you're aware of the singer Jelly Roll, right?
Yeah.
Good old Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
You a big fan of the Jelly Roll music?
I couldn't name one song he does.
I couldn't either.
I just know the guy. I know he's real popular.
I scanned some of his songs and I was like, this guy looks like he should have different sounding music than he does. Looks like he came out of prison. I mean, he did come out of like jail, I guess, prison tats all over.
Prison tattoo.
Big dude. Like, I was like, oh, don't fuck with that guy.
Who doesn't have prison tattoos?
Right. Right. But anyway, I guess this guy's, he's being sued. Jelly Roll is being sued by this band in Pennsylvania for trademark infringement.
Hmm.
And the band who's suing him is also called Jelly Roll.
No way.
But there's no space in between Jelly and Roll.
Is that what they're suing him for, is the name?
So they are claiming that the two names are causing a confusion in the marketplace.
Oh, really?
Jelly Roll, the band based out of Chad's Ford, has been performing at weddings and big events like the Philadelphia Auto Show Black Tie Tailgate for years.
Jelly Roll, the singer, won New Artist of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards last year. The Tennessee native is known for his hits Son of a Sinner and Need a Favor.
The local band claims ever since the singer rose to fame, Google searches for Jelly Roll are now flooded with references to the singer. The lawsuit claims it creates confusion in the marketplace.
They're like a wedding band. Dude, like that.
when we were watching that that Coachella thing,
I was like,
whoa, Neil Francis. He's on. This is that guy that I saw with my buddy Max. I saw this guy live. And then I'm like watching some song and I'm like, he played piano though. Like I'm not seeing him play piano. And then I'm like Googling. I'm like, oh, there's two acts named Neil Francis and they're both popular right now. And I'm like, oh, that's not confusing. Yeah.
I mean, that's like a little different because it's like someone's name.
And it's spelled different.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, but still, it was confusing for me. But it is kind of weird there's a space.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's a space. Listen. Jelly Roll probably can afford to fight them.
It's like whoever becomes more popular gets a name. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. A name for a band, whatever. Like, if you're copying their song, if you're taking their art, that's one thing. If you're taking a stupid name like Jelly Roll, like, I don't know.
Like, it makes me think of
I'm throwing the case out.
Okay. All right. Andy, you heard it here, folks. Throwing the case out. But I'll tell you this, though. It is kind of funny. I was, I brought him up a couple weeks ago to you about like how much he fucking hates his tattoos.
He hates them.
Like, he's like, he regrets every tattoo, almost every tattoo. He's like, 90% of the tattoos I hate.
I regret 98% of these tattoos, 97%, almost all of them. Maybe the baby smoking the blunt was a little excessive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that was a little bit much. The ones that were really bad have already been covered up. I got this to cover up. I had surviving the struggle, but we had forgot to put the T in it. So it said surviving the struggle. The struggle. I don't know if I really remember my first face tattoo. I know it's probably strange to say, but there's been so many now. But I'd say it's probably the little cross. This one, there should be a little one over here and a teardrop on one of them.
And you look at him, you're like, Jesus. You're like, okay, well, I get it. Like, he has like, they're not good. None of the tattoos are good tattoos. You know, like when you see like someone with good tattoos, you're like, wow, that looks really cool. Like, I may not be into it.
Yeah.
But that looks hella cool.
Sure.
He was like, well, I'm a lot different person in my 40s than when I'm 17.
Like, core philosophies I rooted my life in when I was 17, and now at 40, I'm like, what the f*** was I thinking?
His tattoos are horrendous. They're so bad. Like, just, you know, just simple, like, shitty tats. Like, he goes, like, you know how they have, like, a guy in prison, like, or, I'll tattoo you.
Yeah, or you just have that buddy that is like,
oh, yeah, I can get a discount. Artist. Yeah, right.
And you're
right.
Like, let here, practice.
Well, that's what he was saying. He was like, listen, if I could give some advice to anybody out there.
Don't just think about what you're tattooing on your body. Think about who is tattooing on your body. Pick one artist. Spend as much money as you can on the greatest artist you can afford. If you can't afford the artist you want right now, start putting money in a coffee can until you can. Do not cheap yourself.
Spend the money. Because you do, especially with tattoos, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless your best friend is the world's greatest tattoo artist or something.
Exactly.
And I'm just always fascinated by these people. Like, I had this, we have a buddy that does this. Eric Tapia, the famous Eric Tapia. He's like, there's people that I've met over the years and they will say this shit. I've heard this several times. It's not just one person. It's not just Eric. He's like, thinking about getting a tattoo this weekend. I'm like, what? Yeah, I think I'm just going to get a tattoo. I'm like, you're like, what are you going to get a tattoo?
Yeah, what have you been?
Like, I have no idea.
What have you been meticulously planning out?
No idea. I'm like, oh, isn't that something you want to kind of like?
Just go into the place and be like, I want that.
I'm like, wow.
That's hardcore, dude.
I mean, I would.
You only live once, Josh.
Dude.
You live once.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I would be like, I am spending months like planning this, researching the different artists that are out there, you know, trying to like get a perfect design of like, that's probably why I don't have any right now. Like, I, you know, I've actually thought about what I might get as a tattoo, and it'd probably be some like band logo or something like that. But even then, like, can you imagine you're like, you get like, you're like, yeah, just got a new tattoo. Yeah. Like, what is it? Oh, it's, you know, it's P. Diddy, you know, like,
oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? Oh, like, no. Oh, okay. Well, you know,
like something horrible happened.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, not great. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm just trying to think of like something that you would get as like, I mean, I've had friends that have gotten like, you know, tribal tats in the past, and then all of a sudden that's not cool. Or girls that get like tramp stamps, not cool now. And I'm like, and I always like thought, by the way, I'm one of those guys that always like kind of like defended a tramp stamp. I'm like, no, aesthetically it's like a perfect area, like it's the perfect center of the body, like right in it, like indents. It's like a perfect spot for a tattoo.
Always covered up if you want it to be.
Right. It's like the perfect area for a tattoo. But now it's like, oh, fucking tramp stamp. And I'm like, I mean, I get it. It's kind of funny, like the tramp stamp. But
I swear to God, I knew a guy that had a tramp stamp.
Wow. I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
I can't, and I would name his name if I remembered it.
Oh.
I think I do.
That's fucking amazing. Did he lose a bet or? Did he run out of room? See, if you run out of room and you have your whole body.
I don't think he ran out of room.
Oh, God. He's like, no, that was his first tattoo. Well, Andy, speaking of tattoos.
Yeah.
Speaking of tattoos, James Hetfield of Metallica. He just got a new tattoo. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
This is pretty awesome. So he got a tattoo. Famously, he's a huge, massive fan of Lemmy from Motorhead, right?
Nice.
And he's said in the past that, you know, they're one of the main inspirations of Metallica. Like, he's like, there would be no Metallica if there was no Motorhead. Lemmy and Motorhead. So he showed off his latest tattoo, which is a tribute to Lemmy, who died in 2015. And it's an Ace of Spades tattoo, right?
Cool.
This is big, you know, and he put it on his middle finger because Lemmy always, there's like fucking tons of pictures, like Lemmy flipping people off.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
So
what is it? Just an ace and a spade?
I think so.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy part. Check this out. So not only did he get the Ace of Spades tattoo, James Hetfield had the artist mix in Lemmy's cremated remains into the ink. So Lemmy can be in
Holy
his finger
shit.
When he flips people off.
Where did you go to the family and go, hey, I need just a tiny amount?
He said that he got a hold of his ashes and he had them mixed into, like, you know, he put a couple little things of it into a...
That is hardcore.
Well, isn't that amazing?
Well, I know what I'm doing with Chopper and killing his ashes.
So yeah, so now he can flip everybody off, and you know, he lives on as long as Hetfield lives. That's, he's gonna be flipping people off.
That's so fucking metal.
So yeah, right. It doesn't get much more metal than that.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, that's like up there with Ozzy Osbourne, like, you know, I don't know,
snorting ants,
or doing whatever shit he was doing. I could see Ozzy back in the day, like, snorting up like cremated remains too. So we watched the Steve Martin doc.
Oh yeah.
If you bought my album and you came down here expecting me to do a lot of routines from the record and I didn't do them, well, excuse me.
He's the most idolized comedian ever.
He reinvented stand-up.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
I am a what?
Steve Martin has just taken the big leap onto the big screen.
I was launched into the stratosphere.
That was interesting. Like, the first part of that doc was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like
two different documentaries.
It was. And the first part, A+.
Yeah.
Second part, like, what happened?
There was a couple of good parts.
Yeah, like, it's okay.
That one part where he was talking about John Candy.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, like, I think we saw that before we even saw the documentary. Yeah. And we're like, well, this is going to be cool. He's going to talk about like old movies and stuff.
Right.
And, like, by the time the second part of the documentary got around to where he was talking about, like, where he would be talking about his movies,
he's like hanging out with Martin Short. And you're like, okay, well, what's going on here?
It went into where, whatever they're doing today.
And playing it's like, checkers and stuff. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I mean, which was fine. It was kind of neat to see them interact with each other.
Make that a special features.
But I would rather see him kind of still talk about his career and his life.
It was like, so different than the first part of that documentary. It was, I don't know. But, you know, that first part of the documentary, it was interesting because he got his start at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
That was super awesome. Yes. I was like, whoa, he's literally like, I mean, we're talking like the 50s or something.
Yeah. You know, like he was like showbiz from day one. Like,
it was crazy.
He was just that guy. Like, right.
And he was kicking around forever, like trying to make it all throughout his 20s. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to give myself to age 30 to make it, you know. His trajectory went a little different than mine. I was like, I don't want to be a 30 year old construction worker. He was like, I want to make it big and I'm going to stop if I'm 30 years old and I haven't made it yet. And he made it when he was 30. Like, he made it big. And I thought it was like interesting that, you know, he was one of the first, he might have been the first guy the first comedian that sold out huge arenas, like venues, like giant, huge arenas, like rock stars were doing back in the day. And then he put out like those two classic comedy albums and then just quit. He quit doing comedy in 1980. And I'm like, holy shit, he stopped doing comedy in like 1980?
Yeah, you start thinking about it. Like,
what?
He never did
anything. Yeah. I was like, what?
And they even showed him listen to his stuff and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I retired that. And he's like, okay. And then he just started doing movies.
Yeah.
So that was wild. I was like,
which we never got to hear about in depth.
Yeah. He's like, because they stop in like 1980 and then like, continued.
We really got like, in-depth shit.
Now we're going to start where we know like him. You know, they do the jerk and then boom.
We're like, all right, part two. Yep. Here we go. All right.
I guess it's not any of this. We're just at his house watching him ride bikes and stuff with Martin Short. Okay, great. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, now, speaking of documentaries, Andy.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of documentaries, O.J. Simpson just died.
Is that why we were watching it?
I think. Yeah, I think,
didn't realize. Like, I was like, "What? Oh, we're watching the O.J. 30 for 30 again."
I think you know where I'm going with this. So, O.J. Simpson died recently, and it made me think immediately to, well, the 30 for 30 documentary is, it's amazing. It's like just, it's a chronological breakdown of his entire life, as well as the, you know, civil rights movement and the problems with LA PD and all the confrontations with Black America and, you know, the fucking white racist assholes that are out there. Mm-hmm. So they did a fantastic job. If you haven't seen that documentary, make sure you watch that. It's great. I'm sure OJ watched that and he's like, man, I love the first part of that documentary. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, he's like watching rushing for fucking 2,000 yards with the Bills. And she's like, oh yeah, it's like USC days. He's like, I'm a hero. Yeah.
He probably liked the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He just, because he loved, that's one of the things they talked about. They were like, he loved being famous. He was just, nothing made him more happy than being famous. But the thing that I first thought of was the rumor or the conspiracy theory that his son, his oldest son, Jason, was the actual killer. And I was like, I never really dug into it. And I was like, what's this all about? So I just Googled like Jason, the real killer or something like that. Just for shits and giggles. And I came up with this documentary and I started watching it and I was like, all right, got to push this on pause. Andy, you got to see this. Cause like, so basically what this was, it's called this documentary and it's on YouTube right now. I guess it originally got taken down, but the guy was like, I put it back up, motherfuckers. Here it is. You know, one of those kind of deals. It's called Overlooked Suspect. OJ is guilty, .. but not of murder.
Oh.
And so this private investigator, William Deere, he did a 12-year investigation of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman.
A 12
year. And he spent it on like his own dime. He's like, I spent the money on this. Cause that's how serious he was about, like, he's like, you know what? There's some weird shit that's not adding up. I gotta like look into this. Cause I mean, he's like, look, I'm not a huge fan of OJ or anything like that, but like, look, I mean, there's some weird stuff that's going on here. And you know, he claims that OJ didn't actually commit these murders. And you know, you have to have like an open mind if you're going to watch this, because a lot of
documentaries.
Well, yeah, but like, which I never did, by the way.
Yeah.
About, especially with that song, like, OJ, he's a piece of shit. Like, fuck you. Well, and he probably still is, because like, either way, he's guilty.
Yeah,
of something.
Because you heard all the tapes of the 911 calls of her, you know, of all the abuse and the pictures.
Oh yeah, definitely. So yeah, like, he's a piece of shit.
You know, he was hitting her.
Oh, absolutely.
Way. Yeah.
She's like, hey, look, he's gonna fucking kill me. You know, like she's like writing this shit down and like telling the cops. You know, like. You know, all those 911 tapes and all that shit.
Totally.
So he's definitely a piece of shit for that. But this is one of these conspiracy theories that when we watch this, how fast I was like, dude, I cannot wait to send this to Lee. I am like, I cannot fucking wait for Lee to see this fucking. I can't wait. Because, you know, Lee's. His name is nickname is Conspiracy Theory Lee. So
he's always willing to give one a look.
Yeah. So just to give, I urge people to watch this, not because I want people to think that OJ's innocent.
Yeah.
Because he's still a piece of shit and he's dead now.
He's so 99.9% sure that he probably did it.
But the way they broke this down was pretty fucking great. The guy, so just to give some bullet points. So, his son, Jason, he was 24 at the time. And
24.
Yeah, I thought he was my age, but he was 24. Okay. So he had a ton of mental issues going on.
Mm.
He suffered from depression.
Check.
He was on meds.
Check.
He was a cook at this restaurant in town.
Had a knife.
Great with knives. and he had anger issues towards women.
Yeah.
And he recently stopped taking his medication that he was prescribed for rage disorders. Rage disorders?
Check.
The claim is, so the motive, everyone's like, well, what's the fucking motive, right? So he was a chef at this restaurant. Nicole was going to bring... she was going to go to this restaurant with the, you know, bunch of family members. So there's going to be a big group of people in, which is always good for a restaurant, right? at the last minute, I don't know why, she chose not, she just like, we're going to go to a different place. So it probably made him look like a piece of shit that he's like, hey man, we have a big group of people come in. So we have this reserve, blah, blah, blah. She fucking bails out. She goes to a different restaurant. I don't know, can't remember which restaurant it was. They went to a different restaurant. So he may have felt dissed and offended and made it look like an idiot in front of all his, you know, friends and coworkers or whatever. So they added that he was trained in hand-to-hand combat at the Army Navy Academy with weapons, knives, and he often carried a knife on the side of his boot. And the main evidence that they point out is there's several pictures of this Jason guy wearing wool caps. Like, he always wore wool caps. They found that at the actual crime scene. Oh, there's zero pictures of OJ wearing like these wool caps. But that Jason guy, tons of them. Yeah. They're like, and there was one of that exact looking cap in a picture like a month prior to this murder or something like that. So he also said that the time card that Jason Simpson forged at the restaurant leaving work, that he would like wrote down instead of punching.
Yeah.
Like that was like big. He had a non-existent alibi on June 12th. Mm. His girlfriend lied for him because he later admitted that he's like, oh no, I went home and I spent the night at my place. And they're like, that's weird because your girlfriend, when we interviewed her, said that you stayed with her. he had been in the hospital for 3 attempted suicides and had been in a psych ward prior to the murders. And then he checked into a hospital saying he was about to rage.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's not a red flag. There's no red flag there.
Yeah.
He attacked 2 other women just weeks prior to the murders, including his ex-girlfriend.
I mean, his dad was OJ.
Yeah. Runs in the, runs the family. He's like, oh, my dad beats the shit out of her.
Kids got problems.
Yeah. His own personal diary that they found said that he was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and that it was the year of the knife.
Oh, gosh.
Nicole.
This is all adding up.
I'm just saying. He gets way more into depth with, you know, than my sure. stupid little bullets here.
Sure.
But most importantly, the knife that was found in his storage locker, basically, you know, when you don't pay for a storage locker, it just opens up to the public. You can bid on it.
Yeah.
They found like this box of like his documents and all this bullshit. And at the very bottom was a knife that was like very similar to the one that could have been used that was never found at the crime scene. I was like, yikes.
Yeah. That's crazy. Cause I remember hearing something about like a storage locker and like they found something of, you know, but I didn't really think about it. And like, and then we watched this documentary. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Because he tried to go to the authorities and they're like, look, it's over.
Yeah.
Trial's over, buddy.
Yeah.
It's over. Case closed. And he's like, I mean, I have a lot of evidence here. This is kind of like, maybe you should look at some of this. They're like, we don't care. We don't care about any of this. They're like, oh, okay. Well, I wonder what Fred Goldman thinks about this, you know?
Yeah.
I'd really be curious because, like, you know, either way, with all the stuff that came out, like with the 911 tapes and all that stuff, like he's still a piece of shit. Like we said, he's beating the shit out of her, putting her, you know, I don't know if she went to the hospital, but you know, bruises all over and just battered, always calling the fucking cops. Still a piece of shit. But I wonder what he thinks about, you know, he's seen it. You know, he's seen the documentary. He's
probably seen everything that has to do with it, right?
But this has a rating of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? 100?
I mean, it's only like out of probably like 3
people. Yeah, I'm like, come on. what? Nothing gets 100. Like, come on.
and again, if you want to watch it, check it out. But
yeah, no. After we watched it, I was like, oh, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
He totally did it. And then we started watching that 30 for 30 again, and I was like, yeah, you know, he totally did it. Like, because there was that part where OJ was on the run and they're doing the, you know, the police chase
on
the Bronco.
Right.
And then he made it back to wherever the hell he was going.
Yeah, his house.
His house. Yeah. So he said he was going to his mom's, but he ended up at his house.
Right.
And then his son came out and was like fighting AJ, or was it AJ?
Yeah, you're talking about Al Cowlings.
Thank you. Al Cowlings. And he's like yelling at him, and it's like, so that almost doesn't seem like something a murderer would do. Like, I don't know. That just seemed too weird.
But then again, like, you know, if his son did it, they were going into that. They were talking about like, okay, so they're like, okay, let's go through the scene of how I think it could have happened.
Sure.
And the guy was like, okay, so here's what happened. He goes over, I'm sorry, the son, he goes through the, like how the son probably went over there, started yelling at Nicole. She shuts the door. That's why the kids don't hear anything. He fucking gets into a fight with her, like hits her on the head or whatever. And then when he's like confronting her, then what's his name comes over and he starts fighting him. And then he just fucking stabs the shit out of that dude, Ron Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes over and he finishes off Nicole.
Yeah.
But then he was like, okay, well, what would a normal person do after that? Then you freak out. Then you have like a moment of clarity. You're like, okay, well now I'm fucked. Right.
Yeah.
I just fucking brutally murdered two people.
Call your
Stabbed
dad.
The shit out of yeah.
Call your dad.
Call fucking somebody. Who's the one person that could fucking like, you know, blood.
Yeah.
So you call your dad. So his dad, they're saying that his dad like ran over there.
Goes to the scene.
Goes to the scene.
Gets the blood on
him. He had blood on his shoes. They found it on those shoes. On remember those shoes? Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And they found it on the glove. Like the glove. They said that he like took off like a glove to check the pulse to make sure that she's dead.
And OJ's just a great father.
Yeah.
He's nothing more than a
yeah. So then he goes back to his place and he's like, well, fucking, I got a limo there. And the limo said the limo driver said he saw someone run by, and that's where he hit his head on the fucking thing, and then he took off the other glove and that fell, and that's where they found that. So they found the glove there and they found the glove over there.
Yep.
And then he took those shoes and he put them in that little duffel bag, the mysterious bag that nobody knows what happened to. Except that, like, someone was like, hey, someone went to grab the bag, and he's like, no, 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 don't touch that bag. Don't touch the bag. And then, like, on the way to the airport, the claim is he threw it out somewhere.
Yeah.
So, the driver was like, I never saw that bag. Like, when we
never saw it leave.
Yeah. When we were, like, getting him out to go to the airport. So, we're like, so that bag, like, I don't know what happened to that, but. So it's like that kind of that shit, right?
It's a bunch of unanswered.
So questions. No, but this is what this. So when I finally I go, Lee, you don't have to watch this now, but holy shit, I've never been so excited for you to watch something in my entire life. Lee goes, all right, we'll watch it. So like him and Joel watch it, and he's like, holy shit, dude. He goes, wow, and he goes, it fills in all the gaps.
Yeah,
it fills in. He goes, listen, I'm not fucking saying that. You know,
I mean,
that's this is what happened. But he goes. Fills in a lot of the fucking gaps.
Dude, documentaries can do that to you.
I know, dude.
They can really sew it all up for you.
Because it's their narrative that they want you to fucking believe.
It is. And I've seen documentaries that were like, seem a lot more open-ended and you know, and then there's some that are a lot more hardcore and they're like,
right.
This is how it happened.
Right.
You know?
I'm telling you though, like it does make like it, fuck, it makes a lot of sense when you go through what this guy went through, because like this guy, he's an award-winning like private investigator. It's not like this was like his first rodeo. He's like, you know, I'm sure he was doing other things while he was like doing the OJ thing, but like,
yeah,
but he had done other things. Like this is like, if you look him up, William Deere or whatever, he's not known for this. This is like one of the things that he did, but he's known for something else. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, so this guy, it looks, listen, right now, as we speak, as we were recording this, it's on YouTube.
100% Rotten Tomatoes.
100%. 100%.
In my 12-year investigation into the murders of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman, I found a great deal of evidence. But to me, there were certain things that stood out, such as the knit cap or watch cap that had been found at the Bundy Drive crime scene that we now have Jason Simpson wearing. The time card that we now know that Jason Simpson forged. His alibi, which it turned out he had none on the night of June 12th. The fact that he had been in a hospital with three attempted suicides. The fact that he had been in the psychiatric unit of St. John's Hospital.
The fact that Jason had checked into the Cedars-Sinai emergency room just months prior to the murders, saying to the attending physician, "I'm about to rage."
His attack on Jennifer Green just weeks prior to the murders. His attack on Dee Dee Burnett, his former girlfriend, and the fact that he told her just a couple of days prior to the murders that he'd quit taking his Depakote to control his rage disorder. His diaries, where he describes himself as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and it's the year of the knife. And another important factor, that Nicole Simpson did not show up for dinner, where he was the acting chef, on the night of June 12, 1994. And more importantly than anything, the weapon that we found in Jason's personal belongings that has been described to us by experts as the possible murder weapon of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman.
But Andy, does it feel like 1994? Does it feel like 1994 to you? Because we got OJ in the news. We have Black Hole Sun hit number one again on the charts.
Really?
Because of the eclipse. But it debuted.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what?
That is like a few weeks ago, you know, when the eclipse happened. The eclipse, that it hit number one on the hard rock rock songs.
By the way, I'm really mad because I didn't know that we could actually like see it real good. And so like the day of, I'm like, I didn't get any glasses. Like I didn't get any glasses. And I didn't think about it because I was like, oh yeah, I just realized that I was in Phoenix and we're kind of closer to the thing, you know?
Yeah. So were they showing pictures from here?
Yeah, they were showing pictures, but like I didn't see it. You know, I'm like sticking my phone up. I'm like, oh, maybe if I take a picture.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work. It just blurs it all out. And then Jen was like, yeah, like
we had a viewing party.
We were looking. It was awesome. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, because we're kind of like down.
Yeah, we were close enough to get like a chunk of it taken out. And I was like, damn it.
Well, Andy, when did they say the next one is? Like, you know, 25 years?
Yeah, 20 some like years. And it's going to cut through like Oregon or something.
Oh, so maybe we can move up there.
See you in 25 years.
But yeah, Black Hole Sun. I've always got a kick out of how they consider that like a hard rock or metal. And I'm like, that's not, it's like a soft song for like Soundgarden.
Like right? A trippy soft song.
I mean, it has good, you know, hard guitars in it, but it's a softer song. It's
exactly.
Like, you know?
Exactly.
I used to hear him do that acoustically and it was like fantastic. It worked just as well.
Sure.
But I don't know. It made me think back to like 1994. Cause like, you know, what else happened in 1994 was the Rolling Stones did that Voodoo Lounge tour. It was the big Voodoo Lounge tour. And I was like, you know what's funny? I remember this like it was yesterday. All these people were like saying, they're like, fucking Rolling Stones are touring? You know how old these fucking guys are? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, they are fucking older guys, you know? Like, they got to be in their fucking like late 40s or something. I don't even know. They're going to be old for rock stars. They are on tour again and we are going. We are going next month to the Rolling Stones. Please don't die.
Oh, God.
Please don't die.
Please don't have anything happen.
I know Keith Richards. He's going to be all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, what's that?
We got to start thinking about the world we're going to leave for Keith Richards. I love that so much.
Yes.
So he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Mick, take care of yourself. We lost, was it Watts we lost? Charlie Watts we lost last year? Did he lose?
The year before?
It's been last year. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Like, you know, he's not the guitarist. He's not the, you know,
and
he wasn't the most.
and they're like, we're not done. Mm-mm. Like we lost one of our main guys.
Well, so you have Mick and Keith are both 80 years old. You have Ronnie Wood. He's 77 years old.
Young buck.
Yeah. He's like, well, look at this guy. Fucking. This young buck over here. Yeah. So like I don't know.
That's crazy.
I listen, I've always wanted to see the Rolling Stones. This is like a bucket list thing for me. So, yeah. I mean, I think I always talk about the Rolling Stones because I think that they get lost in the, because like people think of them now, They don't think back to them. See, like, here's what's great about the Beatles.
It's because they've been around for so long.
Yes, like, they've been touring for fucking like 50 years. You can't 60
remember.
Years.
Like, most people can't remember.
So that's what people think about them now. The Beatles, they think about them in the 60s.
Yeah, they have like a prime moment.
1962 to 1970.
Yeah.
The 60s. That's it, right?
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones, like, they were around at that same time.
Yeah.
But they also went another 50 years.
Yeah.
So that's what people think about the Rolling Stones. Now, sure. If you just took the 60s and 70s Rolling Stones, and like if the band like died in a plane crash or something like that, it'd be like, it's fucking one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin, 70s.
Yeah.
69 to 79 or 80 or whatever. It's like the 70s.
Yeah.
Beatles, 60s. Legendary. Led Zeppelin, 70s. Legendary. Rolling Stones, 62 to 2058. It's like, what?
I know. There's still,
it's crazy.
They're still cranking out like albums.
And their album last year was not bad. Like, yeah. I think what's key is like, so if you were going to keep making records, kind of like what Pearl Jam just did, you get like a new fresh ear, you know, like a, cause like, it's kind of like when, you know, when Rick Rubin was kind of like producing, those big hit albums, he was a new fresh ear back in the day.
Sure.
And you get these like new ears or like with these ideas or like, guys, listen, this is what made you guys great. It's not the shit you guys have been doing for the last 25 years. Listen to your old shit. Listen to like how you recorded your stuff, what made it so good. And the Rolling Stones, they had like a young guy like produce their last album, and same with Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam did the same thing. And I think that it's that new fresh ear that you can get if you want to be open to it. Yeah. Some people are like, fuck you, I'm still gonna do what we used to. It's like, all right, well, maybe Taylor Swift can get a new fresh ear. I don't think she's hurting though.
Hey, he brought it all back around.
There you go. You like that?
I like that.
You like that?
I like that. Look at you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Thanks, Dan. All right. Well, Andy, is there anything you'd like to add, buddy? Anything going on that we miss? We need to talk about.
There's one thing I saw.
All right.
I saw the news right before I came down here to what Studio 12A. I saw they're building a new high speed railway from Vegas to Los Angeles.
Finally? They've been talking about doing that for 40 years.
I know.
Today, the groundbreaking for the $12 billion high-speed passenger rail line between Las Vegas and Southern California. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg making the announcement in Las Vegas that Brightline West aims to lay 218 miles of new track between a terminal on the Las Vegas Strip and Rancho Cucamonga with a station stop in Victorville. The project will be built along Interstate 15.
Candidly, I have never heard a stretch of interstate described as a parking lot more often than the I-15 corridor if you're on it at the wrong time.
And because of this, project organizers say that won't be the case anymore. Brightline West says the electric-powered trains will cut the four-hour trip across the Mojave Desert to a little more than 2 hours, as the train will travel at a speed of 186 miles per hour. The trains will offer restrooms, Wi-Fi, beverage sales, and a place to check luggage.
They're finally doing something, so hopefully that means more high-speed trains for, you know, I would assume that.
They have them all over Europe and China and, like,
I would assume
Japan.
That, yeah, it would be pretty easy to extend around the American Southwest along their freeway system.
Yeah.
It's going to go down the I-15, which is the road that goes, you know, from Vegas to LA. So it's like,
they should have done this years ago. And I'm sure it'll take 15 years to do because everything does.
Well, actually, they said it was going to be expected to be done by 2028. Because they are running it down the freeway. They don't have any EPA problems. They don't have, you know, it's already like land that's already, you know, designated for a certain.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't the Seattle tunnel, wasn't that supposed to be like a few years? And I was like, oh, okay, a decade later.
They were digging underground and they ran into something, old people buried.
Yeah, yeah.
But so hopefully they won't have as many hiccups if it's something above ground, you would think.
Yeah.
But you're right.
We'll see. I mean, hopefully they do it because
yeah, but that I would mean, be that would be great though, right? Like to, instead of like jumping on a plane to go to Vegas or yeah. LA, you get on a freaking high speed train from here. Like,
yeah, be there in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, that's all I got.
All right, well, Andy, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah,
glad you're back. You're already helping out a lot. I'm sure mom and dad aren't happy about being here, but you know what?
Fine around here.
We got Andy back here. He's brought some supply of some Mac and Jack's beer, and we'll have some good stories to share in the future. With you're part of the concert crew now, buddy. Part of the concert crew. So we'll have some stories about that. Thanks again. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
Hope you have a good one.
Thanks, man.
And we'll catch you next time, man.
All right.
All right. For Andy Matlock, I'm Josh, and as always, thank you for being a friend.